21st Century Radio is sponsored by Hieronymus & Company. Now more of 21st Century Radio with your host, Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Hi, this is Shirley MacLaine. Happy 20th anniversary to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Well, that is Slim and the Supreme Angels. Can you see me now? This in the back of the church, the only white face in this church, singing out on a mission from a king. Oh, boy, did I love those times. Well, this is 21st Century Radio. I'm what's left of Dr. Bob Hieronymus in this incarnation, friends. And our executive producer and research assistant, who's about twice as smart as I am, but I'm stronger than she is. She just was much smarter than I am. And so therefore I can sneak along the side here and I can get away with stuff. However, I can't get away with stuff with Jake Bryan. He's our engineer. He can bench press 620 pounds and I don't fool around with him, brother. And there they go, Slim and the Supreme Angels. What a group. What harmonies. 12-part harmonies out of four people. You try to do that. That's something extraordinary. And our guest for the next 25 minutes is Dr. John L. Turner. The book is Medicine, Miracles, and Manifestations, A Doctor's Journey Through the Worlds of Divine Intervention, Near-Death Experiences, and Universal Energy, published by New Page Books. JohnLTurner.com, 1-800-227-3371. Hike! That's almost like a football. Excuse me. Pardon me, Jack. I got carried away there. I got Jupiter rising, and that always causes me trouble. Now, we were talking about the return of the book called The Temple of Man to Rosemary Clark, who needed it. She said she needed it. What did she need it for?
Well, she told me that she was in the process of writing a book herself, and she needed it as part of her research in the topic she was going to cover on ancient Egypt. And I said, well, you know, I've had that book for a year. I apologize for that. I read parts of it, but I'll certainly send it back. I understand your need. So I wrapped it in brown paper, and I mailed it back to her. And I told her, I said, well, after this is all settled with your case, and let me know what comes out. They're going to do an angiogram. I'd like to know more about that, and all the best to you. So after mailing the book, what happened, I guess the 2 days went by, and she called to tell me the results of the angiogram. And she said, Jack, no, let me tell you a little story. She said, on the evening before the angiogram, I believe, she said, I woke up suddenly because I heard your voice in my ear as clear as a bell, and you said to me, Rosemary, it's located at the transept of the temple. She said she awoke with a start, turned on the bedside lamp, and there on the table was the book I had mailed back, still wrapped in the brown paper. So she opened it up and looked up the transept of the temple, and she was amazed to see it was the cavernous sinus. And she told them before the angiogram that next day, she said, fellas, I know what you're going to find. You're going to find that I have an aneurysm in the cavernous sinus. And they kind of smiled and said, well, sure, lady, and wondered how would she know about the cavernous sinus. They weren't sure what this lesion was, but it turned out that's exactly what she had, something called a giant aneurysm, which is very prone to bleed and in a very difficult position. And strangely enough, it's what I had spent the 1 day studying not too long before that. Very strange, but that's not the strangest part, Dr. Bob. What happened was I had to go to that same clinic to assist on a surgical case, and while I was there, I called the x-ray department. I said, will you kindly put Rosemary Clark's angiogram up on the board for me? I'd like to look at all those films if you don't mind. They said, certainly, certainly. So when I went down to look at those, by the way, an angiogram is the blood flow through all the arteries of the brain as the blood comes in, up the neck, in the head, and out over a period of a few seconds. So you get a series of films. And as they came up on the alternator, I saw this menacing-looking thing like a tarantula. And a word came into my mind, and that word was hosobushi. Now, can you guess what that means in Japanese, Dr. Bob? Well, of course, you read the book, so you know.
But I forgot.
That's the surname of Dr. Hosobushi at San Francisco.
Oh, that's right. I knew it all the time.
Yeah, I didn't know when the name came. I went home, and when I got back to Hilo, I looked through those books, Cavernous Sinus, and I had read for that day of study, and sure enough, there was a paper by Dr. Yoshio Hosobushi and his 7 cases of cardiac standstill, in which he stopped the blood flow, cooled the patient's body, so that without any blood flow to the brain, they could go in and actually directly repair that aneurysm, which is in a place fraught with nerves to the eye and a lot of a venous plexus. And if the aneurysm would ever rupture in that, that would be death. And the way they had planned to do this in Honolulu was the standard way because they weren't sure exactly where it was located. So I said, Rosemary, listen, if I were you, I would pack up your films and at least mail them off and ask for opinion for Dr. Hosobushi. And here's how you do that. And I gave the address and so forth. Well, she called me kind of out of breath one day and said, you know, Saturday morning, Dr. Hosobushi called an emergency call for me. And he said, please, I urge you to come to San Francisco and let me do my new procedure. Because if you have this operated upon in the standard way most neurosurgeons would approach it, it will probably rupture. And she agreed. And she went to San Francisco, had the surgery, and with the resulting only that continued droop of her eye. And it was just strictly amazing. And then many, many years passed. She did extremely well. She not only finished her book, The Sacred Tradition in Ancient Egypt, but went on to write several more. And as I mentioned to many friends, she kindly dedicated that book to me.
Indeed.
And although she feels I was instrumental in this, I think it was Egypt, ancient Egypt, and her love of it that came to her rescue, not me. Something else came to her aid. And that's something else in the way of dreams and astral travel. I'm not sure, but at any rate, it worked out great for her.
Well, it certainly did. And her and her husband are just terrific folks. We just had the best of times when we were with them. And Virginia, I just love being in Virginia. It's just a lovely state. Now, you quote Albert Einstein a couple of times, but in one of the, on page 204, and friends, if you have a copy of this book, look it up yourself here. Go to page 204. Why do you think that Albert Einstein thought that Buddhism was the religion that would cope or could cope with modern scientific needs?
Well, I think because this book, a little small story of my travels in my life, I end it with a chapter called Now and Zen. I'm sure you noticed that.
Yes,
kind of a play on words.
I love that one, yeah.
And the reason for that is that of everything I've tried, you know, I tried all these different spiritual paths that you read about. The Ekankar, the ancient science of soul travel for learning. I tried the Buddhist chanting, the Nam-myoho Renge Kyo, various things, trying to find out how do we reach this apex point of the tree of life, which we began our discussion by saying that could be the point of acceptance and understanding of unconditional love. Well, Zen Buddhism is such an interesting thing because unlike traditional types of Buddhism, it doesn't require any prayers, it doesn't require following any particular path, and there are really no words to explain what it is. And if it could be put into words, it would be one word, which is thus. Things are as they are because this is the way it is. And if we can learn to live in the moment and to fully appreciate everything from moment to moment as we learn these lessons which we have ourselves planned to go through, then life can be very rich and rewarding. And hopefully our next go-around will be even more rewarding and more interesting and less fraught with difficult situations. Mm-hmm. So it's all a matter of learning. And I think anyone who tries to realize how monumental this universe is. Well, to give an example, the number of stars in the Milky Way galaxy has been quoted as anywhere from 100 to 200 billion, sometimes more, but let's say 100 billion stars. And it's interesting that the neurons in the cortex of the brain and cerebellum also total about 100 billion. And also, if you were to count, if it was possible to count all the grains of sand on all the beaches on this world, it is also that figure of 100 billion. And as we know, that's a number that's hard to comprehend how large it is. The number of known particles in the universe, I theta figure is 10 to the 75th power. And as the listeners know, 10 squared is 100, 10 cubed is 1,000, and so forth. But if you think about how many zeros on 10 to the 75th, it's just extraordinary, right?
Right.
Talking, doctor, about all the electrons, the protons, the quarks, whatever the particles are in the universe. But that pales in comparison to the human brain. Because of those 100 billion neurons that are just in the cortical layer alone, the brain is a powerful processor. And it's estimated that the connections between those neurons and perhaps between astrocytes, the supporting cells, the possible connections they could make is 10 to the 10 millionth power. So with that in mind, it's kind of easy to see why, as I sit here talking to you, I'm looking at two computer screens. They'd look normal. You know, they probably give me some electromagnetic radiation a little bit. I pick up the pencil, mechanical pencil. It feels a certain weight and consistency. But everything's kind of manufactured by the brain. And I think one of Einstein's quotes when he said this is one great illusion is true. I mean, it's all created for us. And to say how it all works, I think Einstein realized that to try to explain this is fraught with all kinds of difficulties. It's just an exercise that may be getting us nowhere. It may be way beyond our comprehension. And maybe the best way to look at it is the Zen way, to say thus.
Well, the few pages later on, you note that you believe that to live in the moment and always do the right thing is the best course of action in life. Why do you believe that?
Well, here's the thing, thinking about things. Of course, I can't take credit for that. Spike Lee in his movie, the mayor of the town was always saying, doctor, do the right thing. And if someone is consciously trying to direct things, and, you know, we know perhaps right from wrong, even though this may be written as a script, during that 200 millisecond period where we can interfere with what's going on, if we're conscious enough to not do the wrong thing, everything is fine. And, you know, people have thought this for years and years. And one thing I'd like to give credit to is the Greek philosopher Epictetus, who was born a slave in Greece in 53 A.D. and suffered from a broken knee that was done intentionally, but it didn't break his spirit, and he became a great philosopher eventually. And what the quote that I'm fond of, his one in particular, is a three-part quote, Dr. Bob. And if I may, I'd like to state that here.
Please do.
It begins with the first part saying, to accuse others for one's own misfortunes is a sign of want of education. And the second part is to accuse oneself shows that one's education has begun. But the third part is the heavy, meaningful part that says to accuse neither oneself nor others shows that one's education is complete. And I think it's like my viewpoint now and Epictetus's viewpoint and perhaps Einstein's viewpoint that, look, this is the way it is and this is the way things are going to go. And it's not a matter of placing blame or doing dastardly things. It's a matter of learning and realizing that we're here to learn and making the very best of it. And in doing that, we're going to naturally do the right thing.
Well, I got two more questions for you. I actually have 22 more, but we're going to focus on two of them. The first. Before I do that, since you mentioned Greek philosophers, can you recall which of the philosophers said all things are vibration?
No, not offhand. All things are vibration. It was certainly, as you say, a Greek philosopher.
Yeah, and I can't remember. Anaximandes or it wasn't Heraclitus. We know that, and it wasn't. Well, it doesn't matter. But one of these days I'm going to remember because it was my high school teacher at City College. That actually taught us all about all the Greek philosophers. Hmm. And every time I think of that quote, because vibrations obviously are important. But
as you know, that's people refer to a New Age thought. That's certainly the way it's thought that we're on a certain vibrational level. Mm-hmm. These things that we can't see, perhaps these stages of the afterlife, are all here with us now, present with us, but on a different vibrational level.
Yeah, well,
I'm not sure about that particular quote that may have started it all, but certainly this is what people that I know think.
Well, you know, the Greeks didn't know what they were talking about, right? I mean, you know.
Well, they knew about tragedy.
However, This, you have a most important appendix. And of course, we're talking about your book. And that is, friends, this is worth the price of the book. Where is the mind located in the brain? And obviously, we got about 4 or 5 minutes, and I really would prefer to end on this note. Could you discuss this for us?
Well, I like to try. And I begin that appendix, with a quote from Colin Wilson. And if I may, for those people who don't have this little chapter handy, to read that. The appendix is called The Mind, and the quote is this. I had been assuming that man is limited because his brain is limited, that only so much can be packed into the portmanteau. But the spaces of the mind are a new dimension. The body is a mere wall between two infinities. Space extends to infinity outwards. The mind stretches to infinity inwards. And I believe that this whole idea of where is the mind, where is the brain, where is the seat of the soul, this appendix was written at the behest of Robert Bruce, who wrote the great book Astrodynamics 10 years ago and many subsequent other books. And when I met him through the internet, in a way that you and I have met, he told me he was writing a book on the mechanics of astral projection, and would I mind writing a little bit about the mind and where it's located within the brain. And at that time, I said, sure, you just let me know when you need it. Well, about the time Rosemary delivered a copy of her book to me, I was busy trying to write my book when Robert said, you know, in another month or so, I'll need that chapter. Well, I said, all right, sir. And I stopped my thing and I started studying what I could research on consciousness, the mind, and so forth. And I put together this appendix. And it turned out that Frank DeMarco, the editor of Hampton Roads that published Robert's book, felt that his book was too lengthy to include this. So I was able to use it for my book because the subject matter was good. Is the mind and is consciousness located within the brain, or how does this work? And in the book, there's a story of a patient who was brain dead, but somehow was able to, I felt, consciously guide what was happening with her family and events concerning her. And also, there's a case of Dr. Robert Spetzler I discuss in the book, who kindly wrote the foreword for my book. And as you probably know, Dr. Spetzler is one of the top neurosurgeons in the United States, if not the world. And for him to take the time to review my humble manuscript a couple times is certainly amazing. But he had a case of a lady named Pam Reynolds. And during that case, it was the same surgery that our friend Rosemary Clark had, the cardiac standstill to repair a lesion. And during the time that there was no blood flow to her brain, that there were no EEG signals being recorded or evoked potentials, the brain was isoelectric, we call it, no electrical activity, she was able to report things that she observed or heard that went on in the operating room during that time, a typical, in the way, kind of an out-of-the-body experience. I ran into Dr. Spetzler at a conference, I believe, 1997 or 8, and I said, Bob, I have a question. You know, I'm impressed by that case of yours. Pam Reynolds, it's been in New Reader's Digest, it's been on PBS, and I just have a question for you, sir. I said, now, before that experience with this patient, were you aware of out-of-the-body experiences, near-death experiences, and astral projection? He looked at me, and he said, Jack, absolutely not. He said, and I find it amazing that the brain could produce such hallucinations when it is electrically silent. Well, the implication is that this consciousness, and perhaps the mind too, exists in another place, throughout the body, perhaps widespread in all the cells. And it could exist in another organ. And it could be even more complicated. It could interweave through us all as we're all one person. Mokichi Okada mentioned the spiritual cords that would tie people to him. Hawaiians talk about aka, a.k.a. cords, which are strongest between family members, but tie us all together. Perhaps this consciousness is there in what Ed Dames called the matrix or the collective unconsciousness of Carl Jung. Perhaps it's always here with us and always around, and we're not able to localize it within the brain. So in this chapter, I try to review a little bit of the experimental research and some of the thoughts on the mind and the brain. But I don't think there's going to be a definite answer to this, because it may be something that we just are not able to understand because we don't have the brain power, so to speak, to comprehend such a magnificent thing.
Well, why don't you do a little bit more research and come back next week and then see if you can figure it all out?
I'll come back at any time because I love talking about these subjects. And I want to thank you for your kind comments about this book, and I really appreciate that.
Well, we want to thank you for serving our planet so well. This obviously is going to be the kind of book that so many people will be able to use and gain hope through. And, of course, friends, it's called Medicine, Miracles, and Manifestations, A Doctor's Journey Through the Worlds of Divine Intervention, Near-Death Experiences, and Universal Energy, New Page Books. There is so much more in here that we didn't even touch on, but I wanted to touch on some of the more important things. Dr. John L. Turner, and please go to johnlturner.com and call 1-800-227-3371. Order only 10 or 15 books. And so next time you go to class, you can lend a few out there. Your friends will love you for it. That's how, guys, that's about the best way in the world to pick up a girl. Just give them one of these books, they don't know what you're talking about. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Jack.
And thank you, sir. My pleasure.
Our pleasure. And when we return, the fourth annual Blue Set returns to Baltimore, and this time it's all about raising funds for a very dear friend of ours whose house went up in ashes.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
UnitedSymbolismOfAmerica.com is the place to go to check out my latest book, a beautiful gallery of over 70 illustrations with many in color, plus ones we didn't have room for in the print version. Read some of the intriguing stories and other content we cut from the book for lack of space. Order an autographed copy online along with coffee mugs, pins, medallions, and other books available only at UnitedSymbolismOfAmerica.com. See the reviews of my latest book from Willie Nelson, Shirley MacLaine, George Norrie, Graham Hancock, Stanley Krippner, and many more. UnitedSymbolismOfAmerica.com. Check it out today.
No matter who we are or what we do, our health is a priority. To stay well or to recover from an illness or injury, consider using options that are safe, natural, and in some cases, thousands of years old. From acupuncture to modern-day massage, counseling, and homeopathic medicine, the Ruska Mansions Community Health Center offers children and adults numerous health care and support services. Find out more about the Ruska Mansions yoga classes and weekend programs. Call 410-367-7300. That's 367-7300.
Hi, this is Dr. Bernie Siegel, author of Love, Medicine, and Miracles, and recently a book on parenting, love, magic, and mud pies. And you're listening to 21st Century Radio with Bob Hieronymus.
There must be some kind of way out of here, said the Joker to the thief.
Welcome back to 21st Century Radio. You're listening to Ken Woolley on the drums there. That's right, Ken Woolley on the All-Stars. We're going to get to him in a few minutes, but I have to repeat some announcements because those who listened at the beginning of the show missed some important stuff that I need to share with you. And that is basically like this. We've just completed another interview that will be aired later this week, maybe Friday, on Fox TV's Sean Hannity show. It's a special on the Illuminati, as interpreted by Dan Brown's new movie, Angels and Demons, that opens on May 15th. Next Sunday night, I won't be here in Baltimore, but next Sunday night, the two-hour show that I served as key consultant for on the Discovery Channel's Secret America will air hour one of our two-hour special. We began, we'll begin on May 17th, 10 p.m., immediately following 21st Century Radio. And then our two-hour production that I served as consultant for the History Channel, Secrets of the Founding Fathers, will premiere on the 4th of July weekend this year. Now, Sunday, May 17th, from 2 to 10 p.m. Baltimore's Frasers on the Avenue is definitely going to be worth a visit because the Blue Set Reunion, organized by Ken Woolley and his family, who lost everything when fire destroyed their Westminster home this past February. The goal of this event is to bring the community together to help Ken and his family recoup some of their loss. The price of admission is a donation at the door. That's 8 hours for a donation. Wow. The house will be rocking from beginning to end with some of this region's best musicians volunteering their time and talent. Ken has been a valuable mainstay in Maryland's music community since the 1960s, performing with bands such as Urch Perch, Howdy Doody, Dirty Jane, and most recently with Midnight Creep and Blue Smoke. All are invited to this very special event to support Ken and his family. So come out and help rock the house. Frasers on the Avenue is located at 919 West 36th Street in Baltimore. For additional information, call 443-928-3221. Welcome back to 21st Century Radio, Ken.
Hi, how are you doing?
Fine. Now, also online is Max Ox.
Oaks. Max Oaks.
Yeah. Who joined us 3 years ago on 21st Century Radio. Max Oaks.
Hi.
How have you been there, Max?
Good. How's the art?
Well, the art's going pretty well. That's one of the reasons why I got to go back up to New York City, because sometimes that's where it's all happening. Now, let me tell our listeners here a little bit about you, Max. Max Oaks is a contemporary and friend of the late guitar greats, Robbie Basho. Is that Basho? How do you pronounce that?
Yeah.
Basho and John Faye, and cousin of the late folk legend Phil Oaks, composed the tune Imaginational Anthem in the 60s. He also befriended and studied with blues legend Skip James and, listen to this, Mississippi John Hurt during the folk blues revival of the 60s. Two versions of the Imaginational Anthem, one from 1969, one from 2004, appear on the Imaginational Anthem Volume 1. Max is a legend in folk music and being known all around the world. Reviews of Max and his music have hit most of Europe. Max was also in Japan, Italy, and France. And all those guys just published our books in French and German and Italian and Russian and whatever. So Max's most recent album is on Tompkins Square. It's called Hooray for Another Day and is his first solo album in many years. So, Max, we're going to get back to you in just a minute, so hang in there. But Up From the Ashes is the name of this benefit show. It's about a literal event that happened to you, Kenny, in February 2009. Would you please tell us about this event that changed your family's life?
Well, you know, I was just telling somebody just a couple of minutes ago, you know, basically our van burned the house down. You know, we had a van in the backyard. It was like a conversion van, a GMC van, and it hadn't been driven in a couple of days, and it just combusted in the backyard and burned the house down. My mother, 88 years old, was rescued out the back window by the neighbor lady, who's 84.
Yes.
She happened to come home at that very time.
Tell us how it happened about the window and all.
Yeah, she actually came home and said, I know that Renee, which is my mother, is in this back room, and I'm going to see if, you know, she's still in there, because there was smoke everywhere. There were 300-foot flames off of the house. Mm-hmm. And she goes to the back window and says, Renee, you know, and the lady was rolling her around in the wheelchair in circles because she couldn't get her out the back. Mm-hmm. And she said, throw her out the window, and basically caught her as she came out the window. And by the time I got there, she was drinking tea with the next-door neighbor, but the house was smoldering.
I'm saying it could use a little more cream or something.
Yeah,
it could use a little bit more sugar, you know. She's like trying to get more sugar out of the tea, you know. But my mother has survived so many things. You know, she was in the Blitzkrieg when they were trying to bomb her. You know, her mother wouldn't go into the bomb shelters in Liverpool, you know, where she was born.
And your mother was British, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, they were under the bed when they were bombing the Liverpool to you know. Mm. So my mother survived, you know, so many things, you know. But I just want to say I've been listening to your program for the past couple hours. And, you know, this whole event is such a terrible tragedy, but the way the community is coming together, I mean, I really, I hate to say that, you know, you need a tragedy to bring people together, but tragedy doesn't have to be the last say, you know.
Mm-hmm, certainly.
The tragedy is behind me, but the people, my friends and my family that are coming together, Max Oaks and a few people that have just come together to, you know, put this event together, it's just unbelievable. You know, some of these people like Bobby Hurd and Fred Tepper and Jane Alaya, which is a ska band that's going to come. And about, you know, five or six other bands. And, I mean, the music is just going to be incredible.
Well, I very much regret that, you know, I'll be up to see my daughter, Anna, graduate from Hofstra University. And obviously, I can't miss that.
Well, Bob, you're always there in spirit with us because you've always been a part of our events at the Blue Set reunions. And we really appreciate all that you've been able to do for us and help us out with these things. And really, I mean, yes, we need the help, but, you know, it's just something about the community sharing, you know, and Linda Berkey is one of the persons that is putting this on, and she's just so wonderful. And it's just, you know, this gladdens your heart.
Well,
you know, when something bad like this happens.
Well, one of the things that I think, you know, one of the things about being with a group of artists, whether they be musicians or painters or whatever, I mean, you know, all of us, when we get into creating, we just live in another world. And then when you come back to the physical world after your explorations in the higher dimensions, it kind of changes your approach to the way you even think about tragedies and things like that. Now, I do want to mention one more time here that, not more than one more time, but Fraser's is on the avenue that is 919 West 36th Street. This is an eight-hour production altogether. So, folks, you can go any time during that particular time and stay there the entire 8 hours.
Yeah, there's going to be, I can't even remember all the bands all at once.
There's a really good musician, Woody Lissauer.
Yeah, Woody, he's joined us on the air.
He's very good.
Yeah.
And Bone Dry, which is another band, and a great group called Blue Smoke, and Midnight Creep, and also...
And Will, the really good harmonica player.
Yeah, Mike Dennis.
Mike Dennis, yeah, he's a wizard. And Fred Tepper is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before we talk, we're going to be talking to Max in just a few minutes about his special work, but of special note also is the enhanced special edition 2-DVD set of the first Blue Set reunion, which took place at Fraser's in 2005, and it's created by Sharon Payton, the co-owner of the Blue Set, which has turned into a finished documentary by filmmaker Phil F.I.L. Sibley of FSP Media Communications in Woodstock, Maryland.
Right.
What can you share with us about this long-awaited piece of Baltimore rock and roll history?
Well, it's a lot of it is actual interviews with people who were there. And it's from what I've heard, I haven't seen it yet, but everybody is very, very excited. There's some good music that's on it, and the interviews are spectacular. We're going to have the actual debut of it at the Fraser's on next week on, you know, we're going to play it while we're, you know, while it's going on, and people can purchase it there.
Well, I've already ordered my copy, so I'm looking forward to getting it in the mail. And friends, you can order it also by making a checkout to FSP Media Communications and send it to 3600 Hernwood, spelled H-E-R-N-W-O-O-D Road in Woodstock, Maryland, 21163, or send an email confirmation of purchase to Sharon Payton, spelled P-E-Y-T-O-N, Sharon Payton at Comcast.net. And what we're going to do here is take our final break of the program, and we'll be coming back with Max, and of course Ken's going to be with us, and we want to talk about his latest recording, Hooray for Another Day, in just a few minutes.
I'm going down south.
Coleman for Hartford Coin once again. I am frequently asked, what do we buy in the way of rare coins? Frankly, we buy the world. We buy United States coins from the colonial issues, the federal period, up to and including just about everything to 1970. We also buy coins of the world. We are interested in coins from ancient Rome and Greece, the beginning of coinage, through the Byzantine era, European coins, medieval coin, just about anything that is money or looks like it. We also buy medals and tokens, United States Civil War tokens, hard times tokens, single collections, coins, hoards, accumulations. If it's money or looks like it, we're probably interested. Call us at Hartford Coin Company, 410-665-1814, 8722 Sator Hill Road in Baltimore. Again, 410-665-1814. And thank you.
So why is Real Estate Riches so successful? Why are the members so successful? We've got a backup plan. Our members will get deals. They just did deals this past week alone on South Gilmore, Mount Pleasant Avenue, Moreland Avenue, Belmont Avenue. It works because Real Estate Riches is real, and our workshops are free. Join us this week, Monday the 11th in Columbia at the Hilton. Join me in Bethesda at the Hyatt. Tuesday the 12th, Timonium. Also join me in Frederick at the Holiday Inn. Wednesday the 13th, White Marsh. We'll also be in Annapolis. Thursday the 14th, BWI. Seating is limited. Call right now. Reserve a spot. 443-631-3728. 443-631-3728. See you this week.
It's Baltimore's number one marketplace on the air. Radio Flea Market with Jay Harris, heard every Sunday morning from 6:30 a.m. until 8. Only on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Here's a new science of UFOs that uses quantum theory connecting UFOs to paranormal phenomena and other dimensional beings like jinns and genies. Sunday night at 8, 21st Century Radio, Talk Radio 680 WCBM. If you're a business owner or executive seeking growth yet determined to cut wasteful costs, consider outsourcing your whole marketing department to The Selling Well. The Selling Well offers businesses truly superior marketing services without all the overhead costs associated with employing a full-time marketing executive. Learn more online at thesellingwell.com. That's thesellingwell.com, named after one of our greatest symbols of prosperity, the well. Visit thesellingwell.com or call The Selling Well's managing partner, Plato Hieronymus, at 443-939-1890. TheSellingWell.com.
Hi, this is Timothy White, the editor-in-chief of Billboard Magazine, and you are listening to 21st Century Radio with Dr. Bob Hieronymus.
Well, boy, certainly do miss Brother Timothy. He's passed on to his spiritual rewards in a very strange way. And previously on our Music Out, you were hearing Pistol Blues, Howdy Doody and Max Oakes, and Ken Woolley. Right now, you're listening to Max Oakes' Imaginational Anthem. Welcome back to 21st Century Radio with our guests Ken Woolley and Max Oakes. Up from the Ashes, Blues Set Benefit Show, Sunday, May the 17th from 2 to 10 p.m. at Frazier's on the Avenue 919 West 36th Street in Baltimore. For more information, call 410-662-4914. 410-662-4914. Well, Max, you're...
Great of you to, Bob, it's just so great of you to be broadcasting this out to the... to the Baltimore world, and I'm so happy that people get a chance to hear about it and come out there. It's going to be some just wonderful music all afternoon long next Sunday, 1 week from tonight.
Well, one of the nicest things about events like this is the meeting of old friends and
right.
the feeling and the feelings that because you know that. That time period of the late 60s, early 70s was a really tough time period. But we, there's a lot of line drawing.
Oh, man. You know. And the Bluesette was with those black walls, and it was like this dark, you know, with those blue lights, or what do you call those? Black lights?
Black lights. Yeah.
And, man, I went in there and just played my heart out. I had this thing, I forget what we even called it. It was a...
it was a tenor recorder that I stuck a clarinet mouthpiece in, and I would just close my eyes and blow as hard as I could and let my fingers just go randomly over the holes, and it always made this like incredibly psychedelic thing. And of course Russell Stone was playing the guitar and Kenny was on drums, and
you know, Bob Grimm came and jammed with us up there at the blues set.
Yeah, Bob Grimm is about ready to be catapulted into the heights of
the stratosphere.
Yeah, it's true. Mainly because of the Woodstock bus is the model of it's coming out. It's coming out later than we had hoped. We had hoped to have it about by now, but a lot of things in China where they create these things.
You're either on the bus or off the bus.
That's where these guys.
Hey, Ken Kesey, right?
Yeah.
Well, hey, Bob, the electric Kool-Aid acid test.
Yeah,
want to send out this plea that if somebody is like a budding young or middle-aged or however old they are, a videographer, somebody with a video camera, it would really be cool if somebody came and helped to capture as much of the concert as we could get next Sunday. Kenny says, do you know anybody with a video camera? And I say, here's this wonderful opportunity. We're on the radio. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's AM radio, and how come we're not on in the morning if it's AM? You should be calling it PM radio, right?
Yeah, well, this is PM radio.
Oh, this is PM, AM radio.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, I will give that some thought as to who we know in that particular area that has a video camera that could take their time to do that.
Yeah.
Because that would be extremely important.
If somebody has a video camera, call Kenny. What's your telephone number, Ken?
410-227-9322.
Could you repeat that?
410-227-9322.
9322. 9322. Yeah, all right. 9322.
247-9322.
All right. Now, Max, I got to talk to you about Hooray for Another Day. What was that released in the fall?
That just came out the day of the election. That came out November, the day after November 4th. It was November 5th that it came out.
Well, I can't help but think that a part of that Hooray was for a change in our federal administration.
That was serendipitous. I personally was saying hooray about the change. But my wonderful wife, Susie, is one of nine children. Her dad, who was a tennis champion and inducted into the Tennis Hall of Fame, and he was like an incredibly optimistic, happy person who instilled this wonderful spirit of enthusiasm about getting up and meeting the world. Every morning he would yell up to the nine sleeping children, "Hooray for another day!" And every single morning they heard that their whole life, and they couldn't help but like look forward to what's going to happen today. Mm-hmm. And when I was recording this, he got into an accident and was killed.
And so
In a way, I needed to make some kind of a communion with Tennis Ogilvy, and so I called it Hooray for Another Day. And besides, she's one of nine children, so I figured the album would sell at least nine copies.
Well, I'm glad. I bought the 10th copy. Now, Jennifer Kelly referred to this album as very, very fine, and especially points out that you tip a weathered hat to Fahey in the spiritual, who, and then you have in the song, "In Christ There Is No East or West." Now, what a statement!
The imaginational anthem is also an homage to John Fahey. I really sat at his feet, literally, and watched him and just prayed that my thumb could do what his thumb did on the bass strings. That driving, relentless 4/4 counterpart, the contrapuntal thumb, while the fingers were going off and their syncopated melodies, and the thumb was just like a soldier marching true and in the 4/4, and that just kind of ingrained itself into every corpuscle of my blood.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you what, when you hear Max do some of these things live, I mean, you really say, Nobody does it better. And, you know, and believe me, I love John Fahey, and I love those other guys too, but Max Oakes is truly one of the best around at this type of music, and it's just such a great honor to be able to come and, you know, and hear him live. I mean, it really, I'm telling you, it's, and I know Bob knows, but the people out there really, this is a great opportunity. And also, he's got an Imaginational Anthem is being re-released the day after the 17th. On the 18th, a bunch of younger musicians and different musicians have gone and recorded it using Max's recording. And with their own interpretation, it really was written to replace the Star Spangled Banner. I mean, you have to understand that.
No, this land is your land. Is the new national anthem?
Yeah, right.
By Woody Guthrie.
Well, you know, there are some poems on this album. One being an apple place in Annapolis. Now,
if you say that over and over real fast.
An apple place in
Annapolis.
An
Annapolis.
Right.
And a no place, yeah.
Now, you once hosted a free concerts for 8 years in Quiet Waters Park in
That's
Annapolis.
Right. That was my 15 minutes of notoriety.
Well, what brought these free concerts to an end after 8 years?
Well, I was hosting free concerts at Quiet Waters Park, and wonderful musicians came there, the New St. George and Kelly Bell and everybody, the Naval Academy Band, jazz band, we had everybody. But I would always get up and read some poetry, usually by Walt Whitman or Emily Dickinson, and I would try to get people to sing one or two songs. I got them to sing This Land Is Your Land, but the verses that are left out when they sing it in the classroom, they only learn, you know, I Was Walking That Ribbon of Highway. But in the original song by Woody Guthrie, he wrote, In the shadow of the steeple, in the relief line, I saw my people. They stood there hungry. I stood there asking, is this land made for you and me? They had a big wall there. It tried to stop me. They had a big sign there saying private property, but on the other side it didn't say nothing. That side was made for you and me. And a lady was in the audience, and she thought that I had made those verses up, and she took umbrage. She complained to the county executive, who was at the time Janet Owens. Janet Owens called the superintendent of recreation and parks, and he, the director of recreation and parks, called the superintendent of Quiet Waters Park and said, Max Oakes is not allowed back on the stage. He is he's fired from that job, even though I wasn't getting paid. But I also said I was reading Emily Dickinson, and I made a comment about. I thought there was something weird about the way President George W. Bush would pause at weird times in his speeches, and I said maybe he's losing his place on the teleprompter because he doesn't like to read. Well, that really infuriated this lady who called the – anyway, I got fired. But the big flap came in all the newspapers. Baltimore Sun had a big story with headlines, and then it got picked up by the international – press, and it was in Germany and Japan, and everybody was writing stories about it, and there was a big article in Sing Out magazine, and it got to be my little 15 minutes of infamy.
But unfortunately, the concert ceased after that. You know, we're almost out of time. I want to promote this again, but I just wanted to note this, friends. In the folk rock scene of the 60s in New York City's Greenwich Village, you shared the mic with Richie Havens, Tiny Tim, Bob Dylan, and a lot of others.
I did.
But mostly.
Mississippi John Hurt lived
Mississippi
with me for
five
weeks.
Yeah, 5 weeks. Now, I wish we had time to talk about that.
Oh, that was wonderful. And
but,
actually, there's a little book called With Mississippi John Hurt. It's by E.G. Dubofsky. and it's about John Hurt and me and our friendship. It's a cute little book that's an Arcady Press. I think I might have given you a copy of it when we were at the last Bluesette reunion.
I hope you did, because I can check that out. But we got less than about a minute now, and I want to make sure our friends out there know about this, because...
Next Sunday, May 17th, at Fraser's on the Avenue, it's the Bluesette reunion, Up from the Ashes, benefit concert for Kenny Wally and Sandra Wally and his family and their family. And anybody can come, and the concert is free, and they just request that you donate whatever you want. If you want to bring, you know, a blanket or a lamp or $5 or whatever you want to donate, it's up to the people to donate what they feel they want to donate. And it's all about the community. And tell them the address again.
It is 919 West 36th Street. And for additional information, call 443-928-3221. And also, friends, don't forget, there's that D2 DVD set created by the co-owner of the Blue Set, Sharon Payton. And get a copy of that. Whoops, we got to go. Thank you for joining us on 21st Century Radio, Ken and Max. I wish I could be there next Sunday. And obviously, we'll be there in spirit.
The most powerful names in talk on Talk Radio 680 WCBM, Baltimore.
From ABC News, I'm Brad Wheatless. The cost of health care continues to skyrocket.